Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. If this is your first time, please make yourself comfortable as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I am grateful to have met and worked with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you can all do me a big favor. Please check out some of our past shows at answersforthefamily.com to hear some informative and entertaining guests, as well as some dynamic co-hosts discuss ways for you and your loved ones to become happier, healthier, and more at peace. Now, I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. I want you to know that I truly appreciate this, and this is just another way that we can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, our topic today, which is also the title of our guest book, is Write Your Stress Away, Tame the Tension in Your Life. Now, stress, whether it's an unconscious undercurrent in your life or a rampage of emotions, you can make yourself sick over this, and we don't really even know what's happening if we don't really manage it. And unfortunately, our media, politicians, and commercialism is working against us every day in this area. Now, to talk about this and more, our guests today are Diane Price and Susan McCollum. Diane is an integrative health coach and co-creator of the Right to Be Well method and the GetWellProject.com. Diane brings to her work her sense of adventure and personal dedication to living life to its fullest with optimal health and wellness. And I want you to know I love that. In her book, as an integrative health coach, Diane partners with clients to enhance their health, clarify goals and values, develop an action plan for making lifestyle changes using their own inherent character strengths to reach personal goals, and provide the essential support for lasting change. Susan is a licensed psychotherapist in the Washington, D.C. area and the other co-creator of Right to Be Well and the GetWellProject.com. In her one-on-one work with clients, Sue incorporates journal writing, gratitude logs, and goal setting in her healing work. She believes writing deepens self-awareness and fosters resilience. She has seen the transformation power of writing, not only in her individual work, but also in her writing groups with women around the world. In 2011, Sue was presented with the Soroptimus Ruby Award in recognition of her outstanding work to improve the lives of other women. Diane, Susan, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you. This is Diane. Thank you so much for having us. We're so happy to share our writing method and our book.
Well, first of all, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys taking the time. I've had a chance to go through the book, and I love the message that you have. But before we go into the book, tell us a little bit more. I know I touched on a little bit about your backgrounds and the place where writing has had its biggest impact in your own lives.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Alan, for having us. This is Susan. And I'll start by giving you a little bit about my writing background. I started writing when I was quite young, encouraged by my father, actually, to put together a little newspaper for the neighborhood. And so I remember putting that together and going around knocking on doors and selling it for 5 cents. So that's where I started, later majored in English and journalism, and did quite a bit of grant writing in my early career after teaching. But I was always drawn to the counseling field. So that's where I did a switch or a flop in my work and started doing mental health counseling. But the writing thread was always woven through my work. And as you have already mentioned, I encouraged my clients to journal because I felt that it really led to wellness and healing, and had that experience leading workshops both locally and internationally. So I'm a firm advocate of writing to heal.
And, you know, one of
my... Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, before Diane comes on, I was just going to say, and when you mentioned about the fact that, you had kind of, you had flipped or you had switched, and when I was going through the book, my feeling of it was you merged. You know, you merged two things that together, I think, has improved both of what you can do. So that was my take on it.
Well, good, because I think that's very true. That writing thread has always been the one thing that I felt was woven into, has been woven into my life and my career. But I really have always felt that counseling was my calling, and the two merged quite well together.
And Diane?
Yeah.
So this is Diane, and writing too has been a very important thread throughout my entire life, in a similar way to Sue, and different at the same time in terms of experiences. In the book, I tell a little bit about once when I was a child scribbling on a piece of paper some emotion I felt connected to some childhood event that I stuffed in a little pink suitcase and stuck in my closet that I later found as an older child. And really the value of expressing emotion in writing and disclosing in writing was a key part of my life always, in managing the waters of life, if you will, life events and professionally. And professionally, for several decades, I was in consulting with information technology, process change, and the impact that change has with people. And while I had a personal practice with writing and journaling, in my consulting, I also brought writing to some of the executives with whom I worked that were dealing with a lot of stress in their lives, and incorporated writing into that aspect of my professional life. And then when I chose to leave the corporate consulting world and pursue integrative health coaching, because health and wellness and prevention and incorporating writing into using writing to really help you was so very important to me and important in giving back. That's when the writing piece became current, if you will, in terms of Sue and I working together to create the Write to Be Well method, that in our separate and different, but at the same time overlapping experiences brought us to this point today.
Well, I love the fact that you touched on journaling, because as someone who has toured or worked with a lot of at-risk youth who go to specialized boarding schools, I know many of them put a major focus on journaling as something that helps so many young people that are, whatever it is that they're struggling with, that journaling really seems to help them look at what's going on in their lives and take time to deal with it rather than being more reactive to many things going on in their life.
So true. That touches on, this is Diane again, that touches on expressive writing and that we talk about, and how connecting the emotion to an event and disclosing it and putting it down on paper can help literally, as we understand the research, get that emotion out of the body where it can make us sick. Mm-hmm. And certainly for youth at risk and others dealing with, whatever is a tough situation, a traumatic event in their lives, being able to write and disclose through journaling is highly valuable. And what we've done with our book is to work to build on the value of journaling and take it one step further in terms of what can you do about it.
Well, one of the things in the book, you both mentioned that you experienced a life-threatening medical diagnosis. How did writing play a part in your personal recovery from these serious illnesses?
Well, this is Susan again. And I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes as an adult. And the idea that I had a disease when I got that diagnosis was truly overwhelming to me. I had always thought of myself as a healthy person. And now I was faced with something that was life-threatening. So I did turn to my journal. And I found that if I wrote about my feelings and how distressed I was about diabetes, that it just relieved some of the emotional impact of this diagnosis. And then as I continued to sort of wade through all the recommendations, where I felt overwhelmed with all the things that I had to do in terms of changing my lifestyle, I once again turned to journaling to sort of sort through, okay, where is my priority? What do I need to do first? And how am I going to get through it? So, the idea of journaling goes all the way back to those early days of Freud when, I shouldn't say journaling, but the idea of disclosure goes back to those early days of Freud. When he was encouraging his patients to talk openly about their shame and trauma and stress. And then in about 30 years ago, James Pennebaker did some research about the value of writing and disclosure and discovered that writing is just as effective as speaking about what is weighing heavily on you. So we feel that writing is really an important part. The very first step in our process is just dumping all of those stressful feelings that you have about whatever it is that's creating stress in your life. And for me, of course, it was the diagnosis of diabetes.
And this is Diane.
Go ahead.
Almost the same month, and Sue and I have a very, very long-standing friendship, and it was ironic in some ways that the very same year and close to the same month, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. And, of course, turned to my journal as I went through that whole situation of diagnosis and all that you experience and many physicians to see and opinions to try to sort out. And my writing really helped me to uncover the emotions I was feeling and be able to express those emotions in my journal and sort out what I was feeling and be able to get to the heart of what mattered to me and what I needed to do to move forward. And I wasn't a likely candidate in terms of risk factors to have breast cancer, but that was the question of what to do next. And through my writing, I was really able to listen to my intuition and advocate for myself in terms of the best path forward in working together with physicians. And I insisted on a biopsy really because of writing, when my doctor thought maybe we could wait for 6 months, but I was really listening to my intuition that came out in my writing and what I felt was mattered most. And my doctor later remarked to me that he thought perhaps my writing saved my life because I listened to the voice within to make sure that we took the necessary steps in the moment to decide the moving forward. I also use the power of affirmation. Just as Sue dealt with the change of being diagnosed with a diagnosis, facing surgery and chemotherapy and other treatments, the power of affirmation and daily writing my affirmation of what I wanted to look like and feel like and be when I came out of this 6 to 8 months of treatment was so powerful to affirm what matters and have a plan and help me to manage moving forward in my life. And that experience and our respective experiences together really compelled us in another way to create our writing method and tell our story in the hopes that we can help others who might be facing similar things in their lives.
You know, and I love the fact that, a little bit ago when I think Sue spoke about the, you know, the Freud talking, you know, about the fact of how important it is to talk about these things. Well, one of the things that doesn't touch on is some people are not comfortable with that. So the idea of journaling and to writing these things down, having as good an effect, I think is huge. And I think it's just so beneficial for people to know that and to understand that they don't necessarily have to tell the world what's going on. Just the sheer fact of writing it down and processing it can have such a great effect. And we have a comment that's coming in through email that I want to share. And this one says, my mother gave me a journal on my 9th birthday. Writing down my thoughts and experiences all these years has allowed me to step back and reflect on my interactions with everyone around me. I believe this process has brought calm and reason in the most stressful situations. It has been difficult describing why this has been an important part of my life. I ordered your book and now look forward to recommending it to my family and friends who could greatly benefit from adding this activity to their lives. And this is from Gracie in New York.
Well, thank you, Gracie. I'm glad that writing has helped you so much over the course of your life, starting from that young age of 9 years old. I really think that is what I think she's hit on the key to writing, is that it does help you reflect. It sort of slows you down in your processing and helps you get to a deeper level of understanding about what's going on in your life and what's causing the stress. So she says the fact that it brings calm and reason is one of the major benefits of writing. And Diane and I have woven reflective writing into the process, which we call the Get Well method, Write to Be Well. And the fourth step is reflective writing, because the reflective writing supports learning. It's promotes insight, and it gives you a new perspective. It helps you stop sort of ruminating on a problem, which I think if we don't break the rumination cycle, we can continue to go over it again and again and again in our minds. But by putting it down on paper, we stop the rumination and start to find some meaning in the experience. So that final step of reflective writing is really critical in terms of learning what to do next and how to address the stress of your life.
I'm talking with Diane Price and Susan McCollum, authors of the new book, Write Your Stress Away, Tame the Tension in Your Life. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and we are talking about writing your stress away, tame the tension in your life. We're speaking with Diane Price and Susan McCollum. And so in your book, you mentioned the Get Well Project. Share a little bit about that and how that led into you writing the book.
This is Diane. Sue and I have always, over the years, shared a lot about health and wellness, and we're often ahead of our times with some of our ideas and being preventative and proactive with health. And when about 3-4 years ago, we were sharing and putting together, just talking about our experiences and Sue's counseling and my integrative health coaching, and just put that together. And we spent a lot of time talking about health wheels and what we felt mattered most about a health wheel. And perhaps, if you Google health wheel, you'll see a circle with different areas of experience or events. And the question is, how does that impact your life? And how do you move forward being healthy and happy to the best of your ability? And out of that whole discussion and our passion for that and our passion for sharing with others, we created the Get Well Project and put that together as a way for us to define what health is. And we look at health as a continuum. If you look at the dictionary definition, it is often the absence of illness, so that it's kind of binary. It's either you're ill, you're sick, or you're not. And we look at it in a very different way, that it's a continuum of illness to wellness. And you could be at many different places or on many different horizontal planes, if you can envision that, on that spectrum. From illness to wellness. And having that concept has been an aha moment for many of the individuals with whom we've worked, that they can think of themselves in a way that you can be helpful and preventative and proactive about your health, while at the same time, you might be dealing with something. Sue, with her type 1 diabetes, has to manage that on a daily basis. But she doesn't, I know firsthand, she doesn't think of herself as ill or sick with that. And correspondingly, many of us have, I personally have some health things that I need to manage and pay attention to that could turn into something that could greatly affect my life. And at the same time, I can also be focusing on what can I do to be preventive and proactive with it. I personally see a functional medicine physician that helps me optimize my health as I move forward. And so the Get Well Project was born out of all that. From that, our writing came together as a key tool to help individuals with that definition of health. And so the Get Well Project is our umbrella, if you will, for writing that we focus on to support individuals in achieving the health they desire. And from that was born our book. in that stress being such a major influence, particularly currently in our 21st century, on health and being linked to the six leading causes of death in the world, with 110 million people is the statistic that we've pulled annually in the world dying of stress-related disease. So from that point to the Get Well Project, it's about finding a framework and a way of thinking and writing as a tool to help you get well, be well, and stay well.
Now, you mentioned some statistics. Let me just get this in. So what does the research state about the healing power of writing?
Yes, there is a lot about the healing power of writing, and I'm going to let Sue respond to that.
Sure. It really started with this James Pennebaker out of the University of Texas and his research into expressive writing. And he had his test subjects just write about whatever it was that was causing the most emotional pain in their lives, whether it was a health issue or a childhood trauma or a family situation, just whatever it might be, or perhaps even a job stress. What was it that was creating the most pain in their lives? And his particular direction was to tell as many specific details about this situation, but the key was to link that situation to the emotional impact that it has on you. And he discovered that he also shared with his test clients that they didn't have to even share what they wrote with anyone else, that this was something that was just personal between them and their journal. And he had actually taken blood samples before they wrote, and then after they wrote, he took blood samples, and he discovers that there was literally a physical link between the writing and the body, that there was an increase in T lymphocytes in the blood, which is a healing property in our blood. So that was astounding, that the writing created a heightened immune function in the people who just wrote about their deepest traumas and the emotions that were associated with that situation. And over the years, many other people have done the same kind of testing with expressive writing, and they discovered that the symptoms of asthma and rheumatoid arthritis were reduced. The aftercare of heart attack victims was improved. There was even a test with wound healing, where they actually did a little tiny cut on an elderly patient, and then they had them do some writing, and they found out that those who wrote healed faster than those who didn't write. And it's another study talked about the reduced pain in cancer patients. So I think it's truly amazing, and that the link between writing and stress and trauma is really quite strong in terms of the healing properties of writing. Well, and that's just one set of experiments that have been done.
Well, in fact, you're correct, because there are quite a few other experiments and studies that are being done. And part of my research before doing this show, there are also some out there in regards to the benefits for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and dementia, to where they are setting up groups, and they're having them write about everything that they're going through, and they're then testing them and realizing that it is helping with their cognition. So that was one of the things that literally I thought was one of the greatest parts of the whole thing, because I as those that have listened know that I have a mother going through one and my father going through another. So yes,
wow.
It is something that is so beneficial. So for those of you out there that, and you know somebody that's dealing with these, you know, just having them, you know, sit down and start writing about what it is that they're going through or writing about whatever it is that they want to write about, will help in so many ways.
Diane. I'm sorry, Sue.
Go ahead.
This is Diane. You mentioned in your introduction about the unconscious undercurrent,
yes,
that we experience. And as you were mentioning the benefit of writing for, you know, dementia and cognition and so forth, and many other physical and emotional and mental issues that the body can experience, what was so profound in the research that we found is that whole piece of the unconscious undercurrent that exists in our lives of stress and things bothering us. And if you think of someone with dementia and having recently gone through this with my mom, the whole physical impact of having lived a life being really sharp cognitively and then knowing something's not right and I can't quite connect the thoughts or the facts, and that unconscious undercurrent of stress related to that, and stress hormones that are then increased in the body, and then in turn the physical impact that can have on the immune system and other conditions. So I just couldn't help but share that because it felt like that's an important part of it. And as you were talking about encouraging people to write, it's not only what's top of mind, but it's amazing when you start with the expressive writing that Sue talked about with telling your story, what comes out that you don't even realize is back there and bugging you.
Well, and I'm so glad that you added that, because I couldn't agree more. Is that, you know, and also in regards to the introduction, you know, this undercurrent, this unconscious undercurrent, you know, as I mentioned, you know, with our media and the politicians and commercialism and everything, it just keeps such a level of stress that to be able to go into, any form of writing, which is also it's very similar effect with meditation. And that's one of the things in one of the studies,
yes,
one of the studies that I read is that it has a meditative effect, just as if you were doing meditation, that you're kind of, you know, releasing all of that, but you're also improving your immune system, which is now fighting whatever it is that's going on with you. So you're right, it has a multiple level positive effect that I think is wonderful. Now I have a question for you. For some people, mm-hmm, that if they're at a certain stage with, let's say, Parkinson's, and writing is not comfortable for them because of essential tremors or whatever else is going on, is there any studies to where they get the same amount of benefit in just dictating something into a computer or into a phone that then types it out for them? So they're still getting the verbal part of it, and they're getting to be able to see it and read it after a machine is actually typing it for them. Is there anything in regards to that shows that there is as good a benefit?
This is Sue again, and yes, there are some studies. I wish that I could lead you to them right away, but as I remember in my reading and research also, that James Pennebaker, the researcher that we were talking about just a few minutes ago, had done some studies where he compared doing an oral presentation, or I shouldn't say a presentation, but orally dictating into a microphone taping was just as effective actually as the writing. So I think that for a Parkinson's patient, it would work actually quite well and be just as therapeutic and beneficial. I think one of the keys is that sometimes when we are, you know, when we're under stress and trauma, it's really hard to share some of those feelings with somebody else. So whether you do it in writing or on a tape, it's for, I'm saying for your eyes only or for your ears only, that you don't have to share it with anyone else. So the person with Parkinson's doesn't, I just want them to know that they don't have to share their tape with anyone else, that it can be something just personal and private, just as if you were writing in a journal. I hope that makes some sense. I floundered a bit.
No, actually, I think it makes great sense. And it's good to reinforce that, because it's the same thing with writing, you know, that you write it down. You don't have to give it to somebody else. So I think it's great that you've kind of reminded that to everybody. Now, for everybody out there, the book is called Write Your Stress Away, Tame the Tension in Your Life. Now, we're going to take a break, but for those of you, if you're at a computer, you know, obviously you can't do this if you're driving, but if you want to follow along with us or open up another window, you can go to thegetwellproject.com. You can open that up. You can sort of follow along, and you'll be able to see a lot about what it is we're talking about. But we're going to be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and our guests today are Diane Price and Susan McCollum. Now, Diane, tell us about your experience with the Duke Integrative Coaching Program.
Yes, this is Diane. I'm happy to do that. A wonderful experience. And several years ago, I participated and completed the coursework and the training in integrative health coaching. And it is kind of goes back to what I mentioned about the wheel of health. And it's a coaching process to help individuals get in touch with what matters to them. It's about prevention and intervention, and really looking at how does one combine in a complementary way conventional and approaches to health. So the program, Duke, is part of a national consortium of health organizations, medical centers that are participating together in helping to further integrative health. And, you know, many years ago, there was conversation about alternative health. And you perhaps still hear that term. Alternative conjures up, it's an either or. And at the Duke Integrative Health Program, it was a matter of really reinforcing what, which was exciting for me to reinforce the concept of, you can think of your health as a pie, if you will. And within that, there can be many different practices that you bring into it to address your overall situation or perhaps something very specific. So with integrative health, it's a matter of looking at where does traditional Western medicine fit? I have a strep throat and it's an appropriate thing for treatment because it's proven that that's the best way to address the strep throat. So perhaps that piece of pie is a little bit larger, or perhaps you come down with the flu, and that's in the illness world. But then you have to, integrative health looks at the bigger picture of the mind-body connection and what does movement do and what does nutrition play a part in your life. How does personal and professional development play into what matters to you? How about the relationships in your life, the physical environment you're in, or where you are spiritually? So what the Duke Integrative Health Program did is really enrich and strengthen for me that view of health, that there can be complementary and conventional methods that you combine together in different amounts depending on what you're personally dealing with in the moment. It's based on the classic coaching model of what's your current state, what's your future state, what are you going to do about it, and being supported in making that happen. And all those concepts we've incorporated into the Right to Be Well method. So a great experience with Duke Integrative Health Coaching and of working one-on-one with individuals as well as with groups to help people to find for themselves the best plan to achieve what they define as optimal health for them on the health continuum. Now, I hope I shared a lot, so I hope it's not too much.
No, actually, you covered it really well, because at one point, and I was going to, as you were saying something, my next question was going to be, can you expand upon that? And you did it anyway. So I think we sent it through telepathy, and you covered it perfectly. Thank you. Now, we do have another question, another listener question that has come in. And again, I want to thank those that take the time to do this. Many of them are teachers or people working in the middle of the day. So they'll send something in via email or instant message, knowing that they're going to be able to listen at a later time, either through iTunes or one of the other ways. So I sometimes get messages back from them thanking me for getting the question asked, even if they didn't get to listen until a later time. This one reads, I have 6 grandchildren, ages 7 to 15. My observation is that their technology, and they have in parentheses, video games and cell phones, etc., have all but replaced reading a good book. Their writing, reading, and speaking skills are actually embarrassing at times. I visited your site and did not see anything specifically for young people. Do you have any plans or suggestions for engaging our kids? And this is from Valerie in California.
Well, this is Sue, and Valerie is correct that we don't have anything on there for children right now, but it's a great suggestion and certainly an area that we would like to expand in. I have grandchildren of my own, and I understand exactly what she's talking about in terms of the video games sort of overtaking their lives, and the writing, reading, and speaking skills going downhill because we don't have as much interpersonal communication as we did, certainly when I was growing up, fewer conversations around a table, and the video games are present and taking over as opposed to face-to-face conversation. So I think it's a wonderful idea and one that we will pursue because we do feel that the writing is critical in terms of getting people of all ages, from children to adults, to sort of slow down and get in touch with what's bothering them and what they might reflect on and learn from it. And I want to give you an example of a child who is writing. This is a nephew of mine who has ADHD. He had some surgery about a year ago and has found that it's really helpful to, for him in his childish scrawl to write about his surgery that he had. And I know his mother is always amazed at how often he writes and tells the story to people. And I think it's his way of processing it. So I think there's great hope for him that as he continues to process and understand, as he continues to grow, that this surgery that he had will not have the same impact of a trauma on his body because he continues to write about it. His sentences are not well formed. You know what? It doesn't matter. He has thoughts there that he wants to express in his childish way. And it's just as effective as somebody who writes a complete, well-formed sentence. So perhaps there's a way that Valerie can work with her grandchildren or even encourage them in drawing about whatever it is that they want to express, or having a one-on-one conversation, or even writing about it.
Well, you know, I just glanced over the time, and time has absolutely flown by. I really want to thank both of you, and not only for coming on the show, but for taking the time to write a book that really focuses on something that I think that is kind of being overlooked, and that is that, you know, we're sort of being bombarded with all of these things that are adding stress and adding anxiety to our lives, and not really being given the tools and how to deal with it. I mean, in some cases, people will say, okay, meditate or do this, but I think this is something that is another really positive thing that we can do. And gain on so many levels. So I just want to really acknowledge you and thank you for putting this out there. And again, for anybody out there, you know, the book is Write Your Stress Away, Tame the Tension in Your Life. And to me, if you're living in any Western culture, you know, you're having stress injected into your life.
This is Diane.
Thank you
so much for having us, and thank you for recognizing writing as the tool that can help sort things out and bring the calm, and also complement other stress management practices at the same time, that it helps to lay a path and lay the groundwork that you can really optimize other tools to help you get well, be well, and stay well.
Thank you, Alan. This is Sue. I agree certainly with everything that Diane has said about the power of writing. And I do feel that with writing, we can all get well, be well, and stay well. So thank you so much for having us.
You're very welcome. And please stay in touch, because I think that after what we just heard, there's probably going to be something else coming in the works that's going to be geared towards some younger people. And we'd love to have you back on and share it with the world.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday, when we will be joined by Professor Carla Yanni to discuss her new book, Living on Campus. It's a history of the American dormitory. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show very easily through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, or our latest platform, iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and I want you to know that I greatly appreciate it. And the next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. And for everybody out there, be good human beings, and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.